And there we are. Welcome back.
Okay.
You've been doing some traveling out here.
Yes, been traveling a lot and got more travel to do. Got a family reunion and a couple of conventions and work conferences and traveling with my wife. So I
That's
had some
cool.
travel tips in mind. And, all I can think about is the old joke where he says, I've been traveling all day to Nashville and my arms are tired kind of deal. So
Yep, I hear
I
you.
feel like my body's tired. Nashville, that's where I came from last. But, they
Well,
have a
it's
new, they have a joke in Nashville, though. They
what's
have a
that?
new state bird. It's called a construction crane. They've got construction cranes all over the city, building everywhere.
Wow.
So
Well, I think that's the entire Southeast at this point, don't you think?
I think it's true.
Summer's a good time to do a lot of travel. There's a lot of things going on in the summer, and we're recording this early in June right now. And as you probably have heard, June is wedding season, and there's a lot of weddings going on in June. And it kind of made me remember and want to bring up a topic about when elderly loved ones get invited to weddings. And there's a nobody wants to be not invited to a wedding, and everybody wants to go, but there's a lot to that. There's if you've got somebody
Yeah,
who's
it can
not
be
all that,
complicated.
yeah, it get complicated. They're not all that mobile. You gotta have a lot of considerations there. There's some relatives of ours. One relative of ours just got invited to a wedding, and the relative is not all that mobile. She's in assisted living, actually. And it was very cool though that one of the CNAs who work in the assisted living facility, very fond of her and wanted to invite her to her wedding. And that actually made the lady's day. She is ready to go, but there's a lot of considerations. If I think the wedding is happening in a very prestigious place in a close by city, and sometimes getting folks to the door and making sure that they have a good route into the church or into the event center and all that kind of stuff that'll accommodate walkers, and making sure that everybody can get to a restroom if they need to, and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot to consider. So it's one of those things that you guys may not be thinking about it, but this time of the year is time for that sort of stuff. So time to put a little thought
Yeah, and
into
you
it.
got to think differently. You got to think differently because it's mobility is key to that
Yeah,
kind of
yeah.
thing. And so how your loved one can move can dictate a lot
Yep,
from,
yep, yep.
what vehicle you get to what do you do when you get there. Sometimes some of the activities can be very walk heavy. So yeah, you guys think about that kind of stuff
And even down to the
inside.
to do you go to the reception or not? And if you do, how long are you going to stay? All those kinds of things. So there's a lot of that kind of a lot of those considerations when you're doing that sort of thing. And I know there's a lot of those considerations when you travel with elderly loved ones. And you've been doing some of that lately, and I think you had some tips that you were wanting to talk to us about.
Yeah, so if you're like, so I just came back from a business trip. And so what I remember now is the kinds of things that are different in the airports I go to. And some airports have done a lot of construction. I talked about Nashville being the, it's National Bird being the construction crane.
The
There's
land of the
nobody using a
crane.
lot of it on the airport. So yeah, so I tell you, when I thought about how airports have changed over the last 5 years, some of them can be considerable changes. So a few of the ones that I know have changed a lot. Well, Atlanta always changes, but Atlanta has a good base. But the other thing that you have to watch out for is some of the regional airports can get bigger too, and bigger can mean more walking. So yeah, think about that. So in particular, Charlotte's got that way. They added a terminal. So yeah, before you do that, make sure you know what's changed in your airport if you haven't flown in a while, or if you may be used to it, but think about how your loved one might not be used to it. So think about those kind of things. Maybe you have to call the airline ahead of time and get a wheelchair or something like that. You might want to make sure you do that. So here's some tips, just the top five. We've done travel tips before, so some of these make similar sense, but these are related more specifically to airports. So again, request special requests. If you need to notify the airport in advance for a wheelchair, support, a priority lowering, or escort services, you can do that ahead of time. So make sure you understand what your airline's going to offer you and see if that's something you can use for helping your loved one through the airport. particularly the wheelchairs, because they might even be limited in how many you can do. So don't wait until you get there to do that. Try to find out about that. That ensures smooth movement. Make sure that you can get through the airport and reduce physical strain. And nobody wants strain while we're traveling. It's already stressful enough.
Yep.
Arrive early. Most people have a sense of this. And I talked to some people who, in my travel, who habitually go to an airport 30 to 40 minutes before their boarding time. That's a no-no, especially with a senior.
Yeah.
2.5 to 3 hours before the flight. International, add another couple of hours. And I know what that means. If you're traveling internationally with a senior, it's already complicated. It's going to take a while to get through customs. Keep in mind, I'm sure you've got that in mind, but 2.5 hours is a minimal. Even at some of the smaller airports, because guess what? It's time you might have done it. Might have been 5 years ago, they might have done a whole lot. They might not be a small airport. They might be a regional airport now.
That's
so
true.
Think about where you're going. So, and allow things for rest breaks. Make sure you expect unexpected delays, especially this time of year. Barry and I noticed the weather changes and gets really severe. It's gotten really severe and weird. You know, up here, it's gotten cold. So that kind of weather can disrupt airlines, especially if you fly in the afternoon. So if you're going to do this, also think about time. Make sure that you do early flights that don't have delays in front of them. If that's something you're concerned about, keep your medications handy. Don't pack them in a bag. You never know when you might get in a situation where you're laid over and you need that bag, and maybe it's not with you. Medication, especially for seniors, should be in a carry-on.
Yeah, all the time.
Make sure you do that. Choose convenient seats. I know some airlines, like Southwest, is ending their open seating arrangement, I think, in the next couple of days.
Oh, really?
They were the only ones that really did that. But now you can choose your seat. At least you will be after a time. So choose seats that give you the ability to move in and out quickly, especially if you have a loved one who needs to go to the bathroom or get off quickly. So that may cost you a little more, but the convenience may be worth it. Mm-hmm. And then don't overpack. Overpacking can cause you a lot of fatigue and complicate your travel. Pack light. Use wheels. Wheels are important. No bags with no wheels have no business in airports, especially if you're carrying them on. And remember, you still got to get them from your baggage to whatever you're using to get to your destination, whether that's an Uber or a Lyft or a taxi or something like that. So you got to think about that kind of stuff. So there are a couple of tips. I'll throw them in the show notes. And
yeah, man, I think these are all aware of. All good stuff. And so maybe some of the extras I can throw in there. One especially is to, when you're doing flight planning, if you know you're going to have somebody who's got limited mobility, go ahead and opt for a longer layover than you might normally would do. Nobody wants to be dashing through the Atlanta airport, even if nobody wants to be pushing a wheelchair at a maximum speed through a big airport at all. So no,
there are other ways to get your exercise.
Exactly. You know, if you got if it's going to be a slow one of your folks are going to be a little slower than the others, go ahead and plan for an extra amount of time in that airport.
Or do a direct flight, even better.
If you can pull it off, that'd be great. And like you said, Charlotte and Atlanta. Oh, well, Atlanta's I'm used to Atlanta. I can get around Atlanta pretty well, but I would hate to take my dad through Atlanta. And same thing with Charlotte. You know, and this is our part of the country, and these are the airports that we hit a lot. But what I would do for me and what I would do if I had somebody else with me are completely different things. So, you know, things to think about. Well, it is not just elderly loved ones or anything like that. Shoot, 10 years ago, my wife had a knee surgery, and, you know, she was recovering from that. She was not as fast as possible. We walked through we flew through Chicago to get to one of our trips. And I tell you, I love Chicago. It's a great town. Sometimes the airport can be the devil, and some of the folks in the airport can be evil. So I'm just gonna go ahead and say that. I don't know that they're people will really get a little bit rude when you're slowing down the flow. So again, think about extra levers if you're going through those big airports. Yeah, absolutely. I was trying to think. Is there anything
I'll tell you something else I learned.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll tell you something else I learned is. There's a difference between clear and TSA pre-check.
Really? Big difference. Tell me more about that. I don't know if you knew that or not.
So both of those are services that aim to give you better convenience when you go through the security checkpoints.
Mm-hmm.
PSA pre-check really focuses on physical screening, So it's faster security with that. So you don't take your belt off. You don't take your shoes off. You don't take your computer out of your bag, things like that. It's good for 5 years. It's fairly cheap. It's like $80 for 5 years, something like $16 a year. It's available at lots of airports. So it's all over the place. It can even shows up now in your, when you buy a ticket, now it'll show up and say pre-check and there are special places to go. It's for people who want shorter, easier screening. And yes, it's basic. Now, a lot of people, I'm actually seeing airports that have more people in PSA pre-check than they do standard, which was really weird to see.
Yeah, that is kind of bizarre.
But now there's something else on top of that. And you'll probably see it in a lot of places. It's not in as many airports. It's like 50 airports or so. It's called Clear.
Okay.
And what Clear is supposed to do is speeds up your verification at airport security. So what Clear does is it uses biometric ID. It IDs you in a kiosk, and it puts you at the front of the security line when you go through. So even though a pre-SA pre-check doesn't have as may not have as many people as standard, it's going to have a lot, it always puts you at the front of the line because they know that you're already clear.
Okay, well, cool.
Mobile operate. It's privately operated. TSA pre-check is government operated. Mm-hmm. It is sign up online. You could do it in the airport. They have a thing now where you can actually not pay for it for 2 weeks, but it is more expensive. It's like almost $200 a year. Wow. So it gives you there's a lot of convenience in it. It's not at that many airports, and it's for people who want to skip lines completely, frequent travelers who have done that. So it is the fastest experience. So one is the easier and shorter screening. The other one is the fastest total experience. So think about that when you go through. So you might get people approaching you about Clear. If you're flying only a couple times a year, it ain't worth it.
Yeah.
If you're flying like me, 7-8 times a year, you might want to think about it.
Yeah.
Depending on where, how busy you travel to. So just something to get to. And I'll throw those in the show notes too.
Cool. And I'll throw something on. I see your Clear and your TSA pre-check, and I'll raise you. I'm going to raise you global entry.
Yes.
If you're doing international travel, global entry is a must. And it's, I think it's $100. It's good for 5 years, and it gets you all the benefits of TSA pre-check. But it also gives you expedited entry through customs and at borders. So that's a little extra thing.
When you're doing international travel, you want this.
Yeah, absolutely. And it gives you both of those. And I have done international travel without that and with that. And I can definitely say if you have the means, by all means, go ahead and get global entry. It's well worth not having to stand in the line forever at customs. I think, let's see. So yeah, we're talking a little bit about travel. We're talking a little bit about wedding season and then the various security programs that come along. And well, I tell you what, now I'm going to move on over to something tech related. We talked a couple weeks ago about how sometimes our loved ones can be the best QA people in the world. You know, they can find all the edge cases of where a piece of software does things that you wouldn't expect it to do. Well, my aunt called me the other day, and she told me, she said, you know, I was talking to my sister, and while we were talking the other night, all of a sudden this man's voice came over, and it said, this call will be recorded. And I thought, okay, what? That's really weird. I didn't know what was going on. And then I thought about it for a minute, and I thought, okay, I know what's going on. Well, you remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about, or actually several episodes ago, we talked about that Apple had added call recording to iOS calls. There's a little icon in the top left-hand corner of your screen when you're on a call with someone on an iPhone. If you hit that thing, it'll basically pop up and say, hey, the call's going to be recording, and it'll tell everybody on the call that. So what had happened to cause this is, one, the man's voice, her Siri is a man's voice. That's one thing. Two, she likes to speak on a speakerphone to her sister, but occasionally she says she forgets and puts it up to her ear. Well, when you're on speakerphone and you put it up to your ear, the screen is still live and it will respond to touches from your earlobe and from the side of your head and that kind of stuff. So what happened was that she put it up to her ear, it hit that icon up in the top left-hand corner and is initiated call recording. And freaked her out, freaked her sister out, and nobody knew what was going on. So, well, once figured it out, not a problem. And she said, is there any way you can take that away? I don't really want to do that anymore. There's no need to recall to record a call. I you know, that just freaked me out. I don't want to do it. I said, okay, let me go dig a little bit. So it turns out, this is the tip I want to give. You can turn off call recording on iOS if you want to. It is super easy. You go to the settings app, you go down to apps, you click on phone. And in phone, slide down the screen well, and there is a call recording section. If you click on that, you get the option to turn that off. It's on by default, and when you turn it off, it won't show up anymore. And if you happen to be on speakerphone and put it up to your earlobe will not do that for you. Though, I will say, and this is something else I need to go investigate, that we do have one relative who has that problem, you know, wanting to put the speakerphone up to their ear, and their ear will hit FaceTime on a regular basis. And so you'll get these intermittent FaceTime calls from that person while you're talking to them. I need to go investigate if you can turn that off. I hope
that you could move that icon.
Probably, I guess, but it's while it's in the call, like, so the call, all the call controls are on the screen. So there may be a way to turn off FaceTime for that. We'll have to look and see, but we'll see what's going on. But yeah, that's the only tech tip I have this week. You got anything like that?
Well, I got a couple of actually. So related to yours, forget where that is. Remember, you can search for things in the settings. So if you can if you can search for call recording or screen recording or call recording, you could find it without having to dig through a lot of stuff. And if even for FaceTime, you might even be able to look up items in the settings to find those settings too. So the search feature in settings is really cool, and don't forget about it.
Excellent point. So yeah, if you don't know exactly where it's at, or you can't find it in the settings, just search for it and it'll usually show up and take you right to the right spot. So that's pretty cool.
I got another update for a little stack of tech on the other side of the seesaw.
Go for it.
I've been using TeamViewer as one of my big choices for doing screen sharing for my mom.
Right.
But guess what? They updated.
What's that?
They updated big. So
what do they do for us?
They have a new interface. And so you may run into an issue where your old interface doesn't work or something is not. You may have to change it and have to deal with it. So a tip for those who are using TeamViewer, time when you're there, go back and look. Make sure that you're updated to the right version, because being out of date with that kind of thing can be bad. And then get used to the interface and make sure you set it up for both you and yourself so that we'll do that. And I had to do that for mom, because I tried to connect to her and it wouldn't work anymore. Wow. And then you have to go back and reinstall. So that's the price of free software like that, is they change stuff.
Yeah.
One of the things they changed is that they only allow you to connect to 3 machines with the free version. Before it was unlimited, and they just sort of said, well, if you're personal, you can do it. Now they limit you to just 3. So if you run into that, just choose your machines well.
Good tip.
The product, it still works really good.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk maybe on the next show we do. I am figuring out how to make the Apple screen sharing work a lot better. So I told you, I think the last time I mentioned that it would still make the user click on something to let you connect. You can set it up so you go straight in.
Oh, that's awesome.
You just have to make sure you have an account inside that machine. And there might be some charts we might want to do to illustrate a little bit better. But yeah, they've made some changes there.
That's good to know too. And that screen sharing thing brings up something I've run into lately, and you guys out there may run into this too, is that you'll be on a FaceTime call sometimes with someone on their phone. And if you need to help them with a process on their phone, you know, there's a screen sharing button that you hit, and it allows them, they have to say accept. And then when that lets you see their screen. And then if you want to control their screen, there's another round of verification that you have to do.
Yeah.
I've noticed lately when I've done that with some folks, especially if their signal is not great, it takes a long time to go from asking if you can see or control their screen and it actually showing up on my phone. I don't know if that's just a me thing or it's a connection issue, but it eventually does. It'll eventually come on. And I have found that if you run into that and it keeps being persistent, reboot your phone and then call them back, and it'll usually take care of it. And if possible, have them do the same on their side. Lately, rebooting has cured a lot of ills for a lot of things, but it's just something to look out for.
Yeah, there is actually a feature in TeamViewer that lets you hide backgrounds that can really speed that thing, some stuff up like that. So,
oh, really? Okay, Cool.
Yeah. So there's a, and it's a feature that's really prominent now. So you can go in and look under view and say hide backgrounds, and that could speed you on when you're on a slow connection. So
nice.
That's something to think about.
Oh, cool. Well, I think this is an early summer episode for us. We might be a little short today, but we'll probably be back in the future with some longer episodes. But right now, I think that's a pretty good swath across travel and care and tech all in one little short episode. What do you think?
Yeah, and if you like what we're doing, make sure you recognize us. Go ahead and like us and write a review and give us and get to the notification so you know when we drop. We're pretty consistent about doing every 2 weeks, but every once in a while we get too busy, and so we might go three, but that's okay. Hopefully we'll do a little bit more to snap things up and make sure we don't miss anybody. But, you know, it's we're doing this to help ourselves, but we're also doing it to grow a community. And so tell us if you got something you want us to talk about, because Barry and I are pretty good about solving problems, so if you hit us with something, we'll usually figure it out.
That reminds me, by the way, I looked at our analytics, and we have a new country this week. We have Serbia.
Oh, new country.
Yeah, a new country. We got a listener in Serbia. Shout out to Serbia. We've seen a lot of new cities lately with folks popping up from different places all around, and we're really, really happy to see it growing and like to see it grow more, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, y'all have a lovely, lovely week, and we'll be back in touch soon, and we'll see you on the other side. Take care, y'all.
No problem. We'll have more on Care Tech and Tips.
Care Tech and Tips.